Okay, good morning. Today's daf is Nedarim daf Nun. We're going to have to speak quickly today because of the shorter shiur. So today we're going to pick up from the bottom of Mem Tesema Beis with one final story about Rav Yehuda, whose wife sewed a certain cloak for him that they both used to share. We'll talk about how they were able to share it. And the Gemara is then going to launch into a lengthy discussion of Rabbi Akiva, and how Rabbi Akiva, at first when he got married to Kalba Savua's daughter, he was a total Am Aretz, and then he obviously changed and became Rabbi Akiva. The story is brought down in Maseches Nedarim because it relates to a neder that Kalba Savua made that Rabbi Akiva was able to show him either a Pesach for or establish a Charata for, that he was then Matur the neder. The Gemara then is going to talk about the great wealth that Rabbi Akiva was able to accumulate over his lifetime and the various sources for the great wealth of Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara then on Amud Beis is going to talk a little bit about the fact that Torah is often found in people who either are less physically attractive or people who do not value too much and don't place an undue emphasis on their level of physical appearance. The Gemara is then going to talk about something that we mentioned in the Mishnah. We had said that if you're noder from all mavushal, if you're noder from something that to not have anah from something that is cooked, you're allowed to have anah from this thing that's called a beitza termita. So the Gemara is going to explain for us what exactly a beitza termita is. So we'll pick up again from the bottom of Memtes Amud Beis, and we will start five lines up from the bottom. Debisud Rav Yehuda. So third line, third word from the end of the line. Debisud Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda's wife. We had mentioned yesterday. Rav Yehuda was a pretty austere guy. He only drank. He was accused of being a drunk because his face appeared flush. But obviously, the reason that his face appeared flush was because he would always learn Torah, and it was the Torah that made him appear like that. When he was accused of being drunk, he told his accuser that he only drinks wine on for Kiddush, for Abdullah, and for the Dalakosos, and even then, he has a headache all the way from Pesach until Shavuot. So he was a person who was a very, very austere person. He did not indulge in Tanugim for Olam Hazeh. So the wife of Rav Yehuda, Nafkish, she went out, Nakta Amra, she bought wool, and of the Glima, Duhatvi. And she made a superior cloak. The Mefarshim explained it wasn't a superior cloak, it was a cloak, and it was superior in a relative sense. It was for Rav Yehuda, it was superior. For normal people, it was a regular cloak. So Kad Nafkes Lashuka Michsebei, when she would go out to the Shuk, she would wear this cloak. The Kad Nafek Rav Yehuda Lisli Avi Michse Yomatsli, and whenever Rav Yehuda would go to Shul, he would take this cloak and he would cover himself with a cloak and he would go daven. He would wrap himself with a cloak and he would go daven. So it was sort of like a talus-like cloak that he was using as a talus. V'chad michzi bay, and whenever Rav Yehuda would put on the cloak, havim b'varech baruch she'atani me'il. He would make a bracha of baruch she'atani, me'il. So the Einayim L'mishpat says that this bracha is the predecessor to the bracha that we say every day of Malbish Arumim. So he was making a bracha, she'atani me'il. The Mefarshim explained, the Marshas explains in the back of the Gemara, how it was possible that he said baruch she'atani me'il. It was a lie. This wasn't a me'il. This was a little cloak. This was what the Gemara calls a glima, and me'il has the mashmos of something that's a little bit more chashav. So again, the Marsha says that relative to Rav Yehuda viewed this glima as chashav as a me'il, and therefore he was able to make the bracha, and it wasn't considered to be misleading or any sort of sheker. The Marsha also explains how was it that both Rav Yehuda and his wife were able to wear the same cloak. Isn't this a problem of lo yilbash gever simlas isha? That usually a man's not allowed to walk out or even inside wearing something that is a beged isha. And so the Marsha explains, well, this was not a beged isha. This was a unisex garment. It was fit. It was a shapeless garment. It was just like a regular talus or something that people would wrap themselves in. And it was a regular garment that was fit for men and women. And if you have a regular garment, says the Marsha, that's fit for men and women, then it's not a problem of simlas isha, of beged isha, if a man were to wear the garment as well. And it's only an isser when the man is wearing a garment that is made specifically or designed specifically for women. So says the Gemara, continuing again, two lines up from the bottom on Memtesum Abbas, so Zimna Chada, one day, Gazer Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Tanis, so Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was Gozer Tanis, Rabbi Yehuda Lovasa Lebe Tanis, Rabbi Yehuda didn't come to the base of Knesset when everybody was dominating for the Tanis. So Amrin Le Lo Isle Kisvei. So he sent a message to the base Medrash that the reason that he didn't come was because he didn't have anything to wear. The Marsha asks again, what do you mean he didn't have anything to wear? He had the cloak. So he gives two answers. Either he was embarrassed to show up with a cloak that his wife was seen wearing in the shuk, or maybe his wife was in the shuk. It said in the Gemara two lines earlier that whenever his wife would go out to the shuk, she would wear the cloak. When he would go to the Beis HaKnesses, he would wear the cloak. So maybe his wife was out, and so the cloak was being used at the time. So Shadar Leglima, so Rabbi Gamliel wanted Rabbi Yehuda to come, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel wanted Rabbi Yehuda to come to the Beis Tanis, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel sent to him a cloak, velo kavil, but he didn't accept it. So Dali Tzifsa, so he lifted the mat at the doorstep in front of the person, in front of the messenger who had come to deliver the cloak. V'yarmalei lishluche chazu ma'ika, miyulonicha le'disana ba'din alma. See what great wealth I had here. In other words, the Mepharshim explained, he lifted up the mat, and what was under the mat? A treasure trove of gold coins. There was a ton of gold coins. So in other words, he was showing the shliach, look, the reason that I'm not coming, the reason that I don't have a cloak, is not because I can't afford one, so I don't need to accept your charity. So it's very nice that Rav Shimon Gamliel sent me a cloak, but I don't need it. The reason that I didn't come, and the reason that I'm not accepting your cloak is because I don't want to be nene from Olam Hazeh. So again, just another story showing the austerity and the very, very modest lifestyle of Rav Yehuda. Now, famous story. Rav Akiva is kadosh leibarta de Kalba Savua. So Rav Akiva was engaged to the daughter of Kalba Savua. Shoshama Kalba Savua. So Kalba Savua heard, who was a very rich man, who was a very important man. Rav Akiva at that point was not only a shepherd, but also an amaretz and a sonet talmidei chachamim, just not a very nice person earlier in his life. So Kalba Savua heard, and Adri Anami called Nichsei. And he took a neder prohibiting his daughter from having anah from any of his nechasim because he disapproved of the marriage. So perhaps a bit of an extreme reaction. But Kalba Savua was very annoyed. He was very upset. So Azlav in Savalei besitva. Nevertheless, Rav Akiva went and he married Kalba Savua's daughter. Her name was Rachel. He married Rachel in the winter. Havagone Beitivna, they were living in a barn, basically, amid all the straw. And Havi Kaminkit Le Tivna Min Mezayan. Rabbi Akiva, because Rachel, if a woman has long hair and is lying around in straw, straw is going to get all stuck in the woman's hair. So Rabbi Akiva had to pick out the stalks of straw from Rachel's hair constantly, because her hair was always getting full with straw. And Amar Lo, he said to her, I avoy li ramina lech Yerushalayim dedava. If I had the means, I would buy for you Yerushalayim Shalzav. What's Yerushalayim Shalzav? So this we saw in Masechah Shabbos with respect to whether one is able to walk out on Shabbos when there is no Erev with a tiara. Yerushalayim Shalzav was a type of very impressive piece of jewelry. The reason that one might not be able to go in the street on Shabbos wearing that piece of jewelry is because people might stop you, they might compliment you, you might come to remove it, and thereby you might come to carry a dalet amos b'rishus harabim. So it was a very impressive piece of jewelry. Rav Akiva said, now I'm picking straw from your hair. I wish, and if I had the means, I would buy you this beautiful, beautiful, very important and impressive tiara. So Asaleo says, you can imagine, so some people who are living like this could be very dejected, they could be very sad, and just very down on themselves because they were living in abject poverty. But also Leo came, Idmilon Kanshe, he appeared like a man. The Kakari above, he was knocking on the door. Viamarlu, Havili Purta the Tivna, give me, please, a little bit of straw. The Aldis is sorry that my wife is giving birth. Velesli Midom Laguna, and she has nothing. I have nothing to make a little bed for her. I have nothing to cushion the floor so that she could lie on that thing when she's giving birth. So Amarlo Rav Akiva le Insusei. So Rav Akiva said to his wife, Chazi Gavrada, Filu Tivna lo Isle. So see, look, here's a person that doesn't even have straw. So again, you know, wealth then is all a relative thing. It all depends on your perspective. So what Rav Akiva, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Eliyahu to appear as this person so that Kalba Savua's daughter and Rav Akiva should not be so dejected that they were living with such poverty, that they would see, you know, as poor as they were, and they were, there was still somebody who had less than them, and that made them feel better. That gave them a little boost of confidence. confidence and made them realize that they weren't doing so bad, perhaps. So Amar Lei, so she said to him, Zil Havi Be Rav, you know what, go off to yeshiva, go study, and go try to become a Talmud Chacham. So Azal Tarti Sreishanin, so he went for 12 years, Kamei to Rav Elezer and Rav Yeshua, he learned before Rav Elezer, he learned in front of Rav Elezer and Rav Yeshua. So Lemishnam Tarti Sreishanin, at the end of 12 years, Kasa Lebese, he came to his house. So Shama Menachure Bese, he heard from outside the Kamar Lachad Rosh Aladbisu, that a certain evil person was saying to his wife, Shaper Avad Lechavuch, that your father did right by assering all of his nechosim on you. Why? Chadad Lo Domilach. One, because you married somebody who is not comparable to you. That you're a chash of a woman, the daughter of a chash of a man who's so wealthy, and you married a shepherd who is a boor, who's an Amaretz. So, in other words, you married way below your level, and you shouldn't have done that. V'yod, and also armalus, and also shavkach armalus chios kulan shnin. He left you basically a living almana, a living widow, for all of these years because he just went and stayed in yeshiva for 12 years, and he left you here for 12 years. So Amrle, so she said to him, Itzaes lidili, if he would listen to me, lavitarte sre shanin achronaisa, he would go back to yeshiva and study for another 12 years. So in other words, she was proving the point that she did not mind that Rav Akiva went to yeshiva for 12 years to leave her alone. In fact, it was with her blessing. So Amar, so Rav Akiva said to himself, ho v'yavzli rishusa, since she's giving me rishus, yadir lachore, that I better turn around and I better go. So hadar azal have so hadar azal have a tarti srei shani achronaisa. So he went back and learned for another 12 years. Sichos Musar points out that what did Rabbi Akiva do? Rabbi Akiva didn't stop off in his house to say hello and to catch up with his wife a little bit before going back to yeshiva. Immediately upon hearing this, he turned around and he went to yeshiva, because Ein Adoma, learning 24 years straight to learning for two different segments of 12 years each. Because whenever you sit down, even if it's for an hour, let's say nobody's learning for 24 years, but if you have the opportunity to sit down for an hour, a half hour, an hour of continuous learning is better than 10 minutes followed by another 10 minutes followed by another 10 minutes. It's always better for it to be consecutive and contiguous. You could always accomplish more like that. So also Basrin Varba Alfin Zuge Talmide. So after the second set of 12 years, in other words, after 24 years total, he came back with 24,000 pairs of Talmidim. So Nafikuli Alma Lapes, everybody in the city came out to greet him. Vafi Kamtla Mefak Lape, and also she went out to greet him as well. So Amaleahu Rashia, so that same evil guy said, who was antagonizing her, who was bothering her, and claiming that she married beneath herself, and that Rav Akiva was a bum, and that he left her a living widow. So now he was one of the guys who was going to be Mekabel Pnei Talmud Chacham, is going to be Mekabel Rabbi Akiva, and he said to her, V'at Lehecha, and where are you going? In other words, you're dressed in tatters, you're dressed in rags, it's not becoming of you to go to be Mekabel Pnei Rabbi Akiva, the great Gadol B'Yisrael, when you look like this. Come on, what's wrong with you? And she said, Amar Le Yodea Tzadik Nefesh Behemto, that a tzaddik knows the nefesh of his, even the nefesh of his behemah. What does this mean? The Ran says, in other words, Rabbi Akiva knows how much I suffered on his behalf. And Rabbi Akiva knows that first I suffered in poverty, then I suffered by living alone for 24 years. He's going to be just happy to see me. So asas le'ischazilei, so she pushed to the front, she wanted to see Rabbi Akiva. Kamatchen l'rabbanan, all the rabbanan were pushing her away because they thought that it's inappropriate that this woman who's dressed in tatters should be going to visit with Rabbi Akiva. So Amar Lahon, so Rabbi Akiva said to everybody there, Sa'anichula, leave her be, shaliva shalachem shalahu. Whatever is mine and whatever is yours, the Torah that I learned and the Torah that I was able to teach you, all belongs to her, because she's the one who sacrificed and who told me to go to yeshiva for the 24 years. So Shama Kalba Savua, heard that his son-in-law became Rabbi Akiva. So also Vishal al Nidre, and he then wanted to, he had a problem because he had said that his daughter and his son-in-law were not able to benefit from his nechassim, because at first when they got married he was such a bum. Now it turns out he's a Gadol B'Yisrael. So he wanted to do Ataras Nedarim. He wanted to renege. He wanted to be Shoel on his Neder. So he wanted to be Shoel on the Neder, and Rabbi Akiva was shol the neder for him. So the Rivash explains, well, it doesn't actually mean that Rabbi Akiva was shol the neder for him, because you can be shol the neder in front of a Talmud Chacham, but here Rabbi Akiva obviously was an ogeh b'davar, because Kalba Savua had taken a neder that his daughter and son-in-law should not benefit from any of his nechassim. And if Rabbi Akiva would then be shol the neder, he'd be ogeh b'davar, so he would not be able to do it. So the Rivash explains that rather Rabbi Akiva found a Pesach. Rabbi Akiva found a Pesach for the neder, and finding a Pesach for the neder is able to be done even by somebody who's an ageh b'davar. Again, what's a Pesach for the neder? A Pesach for the neder is that if you would have known, Rabbi Akiva basically said, "Look, you made this neder, but you made it impetuously. You made it rashly. If you would have known that your son-in-law would become a Talmud Chacham, would you have made this neder?" And Kalba Savua said, if I would have known that he would become a Talmud Chacham, if I would have known that he would know even a Perek Mishnayos, I never would have made the neder. And because Rabbi Akiva fed him this Pesach, he was able to be others who constituted a basin, were able to be matir the neder. The Ran asks, how was Rabbi Akiva able to use this as a Pesach even? Because one rule about a Pesach for a neder we learned in the beginning of the Masechta is that you can't make a Pesach with something that's nolad. You can't make a Pesach with something with a totally new development, something that totally didn't exist at the time that the neder was taken. That doesn't serve as a valid Pesach. So how could you say, had you known that Rabbi Akiva would become a great Talmud Chacham, would you have made the neder? Rabbi Akiva became a great Talmud Chacham over the span of 24 years. When Kalba Savua made the neder, Rabbi Akiva was nowhere on the road to becoming a big Talmud Chacham. So isn't this nolad? So the Ran explains, it's not, no, you're misunderstanding. You can't say that Rabbi Akiva was nowhere on the road to becoming a Talmud Chacham. Why? Because either Rabbi Akiva already learned one halacha before he went to, he already knew at least one halacha before he went off to yeshiva for the 24 years. And the Pesach was, had you known that your son-in-law would become a great Talmud Chacham when you have taken the neder? And Kalba Savua said, it's great Talmud Chacham, had I known, even if he would have learned one Mishnah, even if he would know one halacha, I would never have taken the neder. And the Ran said, it's possible that at that time he already knew one halacha. Over 24 years he became a huge Talmud Chacham, but one halacha he already knew. And others explain that, from a Musar perspective, that if somebody commits to becoming a Talmud Chacham, then there's nothing that's preventing him from doing so. The lack of knowledge will rectify itself with sitting and learning and trying to amass a great wealth of knowledge in Torah. And that because Rabbi Akiva had committed at that time to becoming a Talmud Chacham and to learning, even though he didn't know a thing, it's not considered nola that he became a Talmud Chacham, because once he made the mental effort that he was going to sit and he was going to study and steig and put in the time, anything was possible. So it wasn't nola. That's what the Sifrei Musar explained. The Kesef Mishnah says that the Kesef Mishnah explains in the Rambam that this was not a Pesach. It was rather charata. Pesach can't be benolad. Charata is different than a Pesach. A Pesach is, had you known that such and such would happen, would you have taken the neder? Charata stam means, do you feel badly that you took the neder? And when you are matir and neder with charata as opposed to Pesach, it can be with something of nolad, and therefore it's okay that it used this as a basis for the charata in order to be matir the neder. So it says the Gemara Vayter, Men shis mili iata Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva became wealthy from six different things. Min Kalba Savua, obviously from Kalba Savua's great wealth after the neder was lifted. Min Ayala Desfina, from the little statue of a deer that sits at the stern of a ship. The Chol Sfinta, because every ship Avdina Le Min Eina, they would make a little form of a deer. And Zimnechada Anshvi Al Kef Yama. And one time there was this form of a deer, this little statuette of a deer that came from a ship, came from ahead of a ship, from the stern of a ship that Rabbi Akiva found on the seashore. Asa hu ashkeche, and he came and he found it. So the Ran explains that this thing shaped like a deer was filled with gold coins, and that's how he became rich. It wasn't stam that he found a piece of pottery that was shaped like a deer. It was that the minig was when they would embark on a journey, the sailors would fill this would fill this little statuette of a deer up with gold coins, and it would be placed at the stern of a ship, and it would be, or if that's the front, I don't even know if that's the front, at the front of the ship, and it was thought to bring them good luck. So Rav Akiva found this, and he became wealthy from that as well. Min gavza from a treasure chest. The zimnechada one time yav arba zuzim l'saponoi. He gave 4 zuzim to sailors. And number lahu isolimidam. He said to them, "Bring me something." Loish kachu, and they didn't find anything. Ela gavza, except for an old chest al kefiyama. They found a chest rotting away on the beach. So asu alei, they brought it to him. Armalei, they said to him, Avid Marna Alei. Make use of this, because this is the only thing that we found for your 4 zuz. So he opened it up, and sure enough, Ishkachach Davi Mili Dinrei. It was found that it was filled with gold coins. So what else would a treasure chest be found with, right? So it would be filled with. So the Zimnachada Tavas Finasa, one time a ship sank. Vekula Iska Havi Machas Bahu Gavza. And the entire, and all of the money that the ship was carrying, basically all of the money that the sailors made from selling whatever the boat had been transporting, was filled in that. Had filled that treasure chest. So v'ishtachach ba'u zimna demin dar disru kita. And basically this was not an empty treasure chest that the sailors found on the beach. It was a treasure chest full of gold coins. So they brought this back to Rav Akiva. So he turned an investment of 4 zuz into an entire treasure chest full of gold. So that's one of the ways that you can make money, right? By making smart investments. Umin matronisa, and from the noble woman. So what's the case of the noble woman? So the Ran explains that the case of a noble woman is, one time Rav Akiva and his talmidim needed to borrow money. So Rav Akiva went to a noble woman and asked if they could borrow money. And the noble woman said, "Yeah, I'll lend you money, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the sea should be my arev, should be the guarantor on the loan." So the Mefarshim explained she spoke about the sea because she happened to live on the seashore. So the day came for the loan to be repaid, and Rav Akiva was sick, so she knew that Rav Akiva wasn't going to be able to make it to her to repay the loan. So she went to the seashore and she said, "Arev, Arev, the sea, you're my guarantor, repay the loan." And miraculously, there was another treasure chest that had been dropped off of a boat. And I'm sorry, not a treasure chest. It was somebody across the river. The daughter of the Caesar, that's who it was, happened to go nuts, and she threw a treasure chest into the river on the other side of the river, and the current carried the treasure chest all the way to this matronisa, all the way to this noble woman. So it was as if the sea was making good on his guarantee to repay the loan. So she took the treasure chest. Great, the loan was repaid. So then when Rav Akiva became better, and he was able to make the trip, so Rav Akiva came and brought back the money to repay the loan. And the noble woman said the loan was already repaid by the sea, because the sea was the guarantor on the loan. The sea already caused the loan to be repaid. So Rav Akiva took that money that he, quote, saved by not having to repay the loan, was able to invest it, and made more money. So that's another source of Rav Akiva's wealth. Umin ishto shel Turnus Rufus, and from the wife of Turnus Rufus. So what's that? So again, the Ran says an interesting story. So Turnus Rufus would engage with debates with debates with Rav Akiva on halachas and Devarei Torah, and Rav Akiva would always best Turnus Rufus in these debates. So Turnus Rufus was all very upset. He was very agitated. So one day he went back to his house, and his wife saw that he was very upset. So his wife said to him, "Why are you so upset?" And he says, "Because I keep debating Rav Akiva, and Rav Akiva keeps beating me in these debates." So his wife says, "Oh, is he Jewish? He's a Jewish guy? Okay, I know how to get him, because the God of the Jewish people, just saw in the parsha a couple of weeks ago, he hates znus. Last week also, he hates znus, sona zimahu. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make myself look all beautiful. I'm going to entice him to sin, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to get mad with Rav Akiva. He's not going to be able to best you in these debates any longer." So she gets herself made up, and she looks beautiful. She dressed like a zona, and she tries to entice Rav Akiva. Rav Akiva sees her, and he spits, and he smiles, and he laughs, and he cries. So she said to him, "What's up with this? I was expecting to entice you. Why do you spit and you laughed and you cried? So he says like this. So he says, "The reason that I spat was because as beautiful as you look, I spat to remind myself that you came from a tipas rucha. You came from nothing. So even right now you look beautiful, but your origination, your origins were not so beautiful. And I cried because such great beauty is ultimately going to be buried 6 feet deep in the ground like everybody else. So you're beautiful in this world, but what's it going to be worth to you ultimately? And the reason that I laughed, I'm not going to tell you why I laughed. So the Ron says, the postscript is that Rabbi Akiva saw in Ruach HaKodesh that he was ultimately going to marry this wife of Turnus Rufus after they got divorced, after Turnus Rufus and this woman got divorced, she was going to marry Rabbi Akiva, and she was going to bring into Rabbi Akiva's household all of the wealth of Turnus Rufus. And so that's what happened. So she said, so she was struck by Rabbi Akiva's comments, and she said, is there any way that I could do tshuva? So Rabbi Akiva said, yes, you could do tshuva by being Mizgayer. So she was Mizgayer, she became a Gioras, and she married Rabbi Akiva, brought her wealth into Rabbi Akiva's house, and Rabbi Akiva became super rich from her as well. And Umin Katia Bar Shalom, and also from the case of Katia Bar Shalom. So what's the case of, what's the situation of Katia Bar Shalom? So Katia, the Gemara tells us elsewhere in Avodah Zarah, so Katia was a Roman nobleman who had advised the Caesar not to exterminate the Jews. Because he basically, people were telling the Caesar to exterminate the Jews, and Katia said, yeah, what are you going to exterminate them for? You better to use them, right? If they're hanging around, then you could use them and you could benefit from them. So the Caesar said, you know, you're right. What you're saying makes a lot of sense. But unfortunately, the rule is, under our law, that anybody who bests the Caesar in a debate has to be put to death. So he was being carried to the stake to be killed. And a woman saw and said, basically, that woe is to you that the ship is sailing without the sailor. So what does that mean? So basically what she was saying to him was, woe is to you, you're dying because you are trying to save the Jews, but you're not even Jewish. You're not even among the Jews. So what are you doing? So he said, you know what, you're right. So he fell on himself and he gave himself a bris milah right before they executed him. So he was Mizgaya right before they executed him. And so at least then he should have a share in Olam Haba along with the rest of the Jews. And right before he died, after he gave himself this bris milah, he said that my Olam my Nechasim should go to Rabbi Akiva and his Talmidim. And sure enough, Rabbi Akiva and his Talmidim inherited him, and that's another way that they became really rich. So let's just do a little bit more. So Rabbi Gamda, Yoav Dala Zuzim L'Safanoi. So Rabbi Gamda gave 4 Zuzim to 2 sailors. This is a similar maisa to the one that we just saw with Rabbi Akiva. L'Asuyebon Midam, that they should bring something back with it. Lo Ashkechu, they didn't find anything. So Asuyebon Kufa, they brought back only a monkey. So he paid 4 Zuzim and got a monkey back. Not such a great deal. But Ishtamit, that the monkey escaped. All L'Charta went into a hole. Chafu Basre, they dug after the monkey to find him. And Ashkechua de Ravi al Margalisa, that they saw that the monkey was crouched on a bunch of precious stones. And Isinan Lutle Kulon, they gave all of those precious stones to Rav Gamda. They give all the precious stones to Rav Gamda. The Marsha says that the sailors went lefnim meshuras hadin in giving the pearls to Rav Gamda because the monkey had not even been in Rav Gamda's rishus at the time that it escaped and dug this hole. Nevertheless, the sailors, realizing that the monkey was sitting on top of these precious stones, gave all those precious stones to Rav Gamda. So Amr Le Bar Kesar Le Rav Yishua Ben Chananya. So the daughter of the Kesar said, the Bas Kesar said to Rav Yishua Ben Chananya, so Torah Mefara B'Kli Mechor, so this beautiful Torah is living in such a disgusting Kli, such an ugly Kli. So Amr Le, so Amr La, so he said to her, Limdi Mi Beis Avuch, learn from the house of your father. B'Mimani Chanyayin, what do they put wine in? So Amr Le, B'Mani the pachra, we put it in earthenware vessels. Samar law, so he said to her, Kuli Alma Bapakra Vasam Bamani the Pachra. Everybody is a commoner puts their wine in earthenware vessels, and you the daughter of the Caesar is also going to put your wine in earthenware vessels. Saason Achisam Bamani the Kaspa Vidava, you should put your wine in vessels of gold and silver. Sauzlas for Ramas Khamra Bamani the Kaspa Vidava Visare. So she went, she poured the wine into gold and silver vessels, and sure enough the wine soured. So Amar La, so he said to her, Afaraisa Kane, so too the Torah is like this. That the uglier the vessel is, the better the Torah is kept. And again, the Mefarshim explained, it doesn't mean necessarily that Talmidei Chachamim have to be ugly. It means that Talmidei Chachamim should not value their appearance above all. In other words, they shouldn't be caught up so much in their appearance. So then the Bas Kesar asked, V'ika Shapirim V'gamirin, there are Talmidei Chachamim who are beautiful as well and very learned, who are very attractive and handsome. Samarlah, Yavi Sunny, Yavi Gmirat Fe. Yeah, that's true. But if I were uglier, I would be even more learned. So he the asas lakameid Rav Yehuda ben Ardoa ledina. There was a guy. There was a person who came. There was a woman who came before Rav Yehuda ben Ardoa to a din Torah. Veschayif medina and Rav Yehuda ben Ardoa paskin against this woman. So Amar lei Shmuel Rabcha hachi danin. Would Shmuel your Rebbe had been done the din Torah like this? So Amar lei yadatale. You knew him. You knew Shmuel. So Amar lei. So she said to him, yes, in I did. Gutsa he was short. Varava kreisay and he was fat. Ucham, he had a dark complexion. For Rabashine, and he was very long-toothed. So she was describing a very ugly person. So Amarla, so he said to her, Livzui Kasis, did you come to embarrass him? Is that what you wanted to do? You wanted to disparage him? So Tavia, he is Zabashamta, you should be in Chayram. So Paka Mesa, so she was put in Chayram. Sure enough, she died. So we'll pick up again. We're behind. But we will pick up from here, God willing, tomorrow.